Good morning, everybody, on this beautiful sunny day in Perth. So with this morning's talk, I'll base it on, say, the development of, say, insight, understanding, say like inner knowledge, deeper knowledge, and one's understanding of say, life and the universe, you know, when you're looking at the big picture, because especially as Buddhist people, that we tend to have more of a, say, like a big mind principle, where instead of just, you know, running about, going to work, coming home, you know, watching Netflix and YouTube and all this type of thing, we tend to be have a much more deeper, expansive mentality and perception on, say like humankind and the universe. And so, you know, when you look at like dedicated practitioners within the Buddhist, Christian, Muslim and Hindu fraternity, you find that the vast majority of these people, you know, have a genuine interest in developing, you know, some, so profound understanding of, say, life and the universe. You know, when you look at history and you look at the many of the very, good quality, high class scholars, academics and philosophers throughout history, all these people, you know, touched on this, on these principles on a regular basis, because we're looking at like a deep and profound thought, higher knowledge, a greater understanding of man's place in the cosmos. So, you know, with this whole path and process of insight, you know, and as many of you are aware that the Buddha's teaching, when you look at all the foundations, principles of what the Buddha taught, that the apex, the pinnacle point of the teaching is the development of deep wisdom and insight. So, you know, when you look at the later, you know, the in general society, the practice of the lay disciples, you have generosity, sila, which is based on at least a 5 precepts or 8 precepts, development of samadhi, of stillness, you know, really sharp focus and mindfulness, and the development of insight. So your insight, your wisdom is at the pinnacle, is at the apex of this pyramid, and is supported by all these principles, you know, as foundation principles with the Buddha's Eightfold Path. So, you know, when we look at the development of insight, you know, what do we actually mean? So, you know, insight being, a very full, comprehensive and detailed understanding of, say, both one's internal experience and the external world, especially the external world and the universe around you. And so, you know, how does a person know when something is wisdom or deep insight, or when it's just proliferation and gobbledygook and just complete nonsense? Because some people are very, very smart, very, very sharp with the chat, you know, and they can be very eloquent. They can be, you know, I mean, fantastic speakers and orators. And, you know, these particular skills and qualities, you know, certainly have value for anyone who's in a, say, like a teaching or a management, position, you know, running a company. It could be anything, you know, whatsoever, where you need, you know, very, very sharp communication and teaching, leadership skills. So, you know, so what's the difference between wisdom, insight, and just, you know, philosophical babble, you know, stuff which really like sounds good, sounds impressive, but you know, how do we know that person has actually got the goods, and another person, you know, is able to talk the talk but not walk the walk? And so, you know, any person, whether it's lay disciple or monastics, and you know, specifically with, say, lay teachers as well, because they're like, you know, sort of like halfway between the lay practitioners and the monastics, because they, you know, they have to dedicate far more of their time with the practice. You know, they're teaching people. They're, you know, they're in a leadership position of trust and whatnot. So, you know, people expect them to keep a a higher standard. They expect them to have a deeper understanding of practice, of problems and difficulties, how to live one's life. And so, you know, how do we know? So, you know, we have the monastics, we have the lay fraternity, we have lay teachers, male and female. And so how do we know what is wisdom and what is just very, very, you know, like sharp, profound, say babble, in a sense? And one thing you see is you know, wisdom shines itself in action. You know, to know, say for example, if a person has really inner wisdom, has some real understanding of one's life, of the path, you actually see it in action. So as the person walks and talks, you know, the way they explain things, the way they guide their life with their morality, especially with the five precepts, and anyone who has any real wisdom at all tends to be careful with their precepts, because the wisdom faculty permeates all the major principles, all your 37 enlightenment factors, which make up the path in total. So, you know, when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about like wisdom in action. You know, as you, if a person conveys that sense of air, that sense of impression, you know, you just watch the way the person walks and talks and the way they lead their life. And so we see wisdom in action. And so when we see, as we're developing, you know, especially with the meditators, because, you know, people, you know, you can have people who meditate on a regular basis and they do become naturally reflective over time, because as you do your meditation every day, it makes you more sharp, more increases your sensory awareness, your intuition, and your sensitivity to what's going on around you. Meditators tend to be quite sensitive people, and anyone who's been meditating for several years, they tend to feel their way with other people. They tend to feel their relationships with their family and friends. You know, there's a young lady who rolled up at the monastery yesterday, and she bought, you know, like a substantial amount of food for the community, for the main meal. And this young lady, the way, you know, as we were chit-chatting, in the end I asked her, you know, do you work in, you know, community services? Because the level of the quality of the communication and engagement was like really good, you know, very, very good interpersonal skills, you know, connecting with people very, very well. And I just automatically thought, this person's either a social worker, they're a nurse, they're a welfare worker, could possibly be working in the prison system and whatnot, you know, some community-based support and employment. And it was correct, you know, this young woman was working in the mental health fraternity, but it was something which really, really stood out, and being a practicing Buddhist even more so. So, you know, as we say, for example, as we develop our meditation on a daily basis, you know, we do this because you need samadhi to give yourself the sharpness and the awareness and the intuition for the development of insight. You know, my father doesn't meditate at all, but he's really into contemplation, and he's done an incredible amount of study and research, and he's constantly reading and studying, you know, journals and this and that. And when he got his internet access, he was just over the moon, because as everyone knows, almost everything's on the internet, and he was able to study, you know, all his major, say, military and political and economic issues in great, you know, detail. He'd take a particular subject and he would study it thoroughly for at least 1 or 2 hours a day for 7 days straight, and then get this very, very full, comprehensive, like all-round knowledge and understanding of the subject that he was looking at. And it's very, very similar with the Buddhist practitioners as well, that, you know, when we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about like all-round knowledge. So whatever, you know, if we go through a particular mood or personal experience, with someone or something comes up from the past, it could even be some heavy issue, you know, we want to develop full knowledge to the best of our ability about the experience at hand. So, you know, a person may have a particular significant experience in their life that they have to work with, or they need to, say, comprehend in a major way. So they may be reflecting on this maybe at least once, twice, even three times a day, and especially the meditators, because it gives you that edge as far as contemplation. Some people can do, you know, like my father, he's very, very good at investigation. He's got an incredible knowledge base. And, you know, he can just wipe the floor with me when it comes to military, political, economic issues, because I'm only on the internet maybe briefly, maybe 1 or 2 hours, maybe roughly every week or so. You know, because all of you are well aware, you know, you can just spend your whole life, you know, in front of a computer, and, you know, the vast majority of us don't, you know, don't have that time to waste. You know, time is just like slipping through our fingers, so to speak. So, you know, but some people in that category, in the general public, can develop very, you know, they're more vipassana based. You know, they like to think and reflect and investigate, and they amass this incredible knowledge base, and then they're sifting through and checking and clarifying and verifying all these different things that they've learned, and then they're coming over time. As they, with their investigation, they come closer and closer and closer to the heart of the matter, or to the true essence of that particular subject they're looking at. Because as all of you know, you know, any particular subject could have possibly easily 10, even 12, you know, potential angles to approach from. You can have one subject, you know, with, you know, 10 or 12 different modes of understanding or investigation that we use in order to get this, like, all-round knowledge, all-round knowing and an understanding of a particular experience. Because, you know, so in essence, wisdom will bring you, wisdom and true insight will bring you closer to the true reality of what we're going through, or what we see is happening with other people or in other parts of the world, or even on the level of say the cosmos, the universe. Could be anything whatsoever. Could be something connected with the Hubble telescope in relation to maybe some new galaxy. And you know, because I mean, the Buddha did talk about these things in a small way in the suttas, you know, things like, you know, the duration, you know, the duration of a cycle of the universe, the expansion contraction of a universe, the lifespans of these high very high heavenly beings in Deva, in the Devaloka and the Brahmaloka worlds, and so, you know, some very, very profound things there. But as the Buddha said, that, you know, what I've actually taught you is just like a handful of leaves in my hand compared to this great forest in front of you. And so what the Buddha's teaching you is essentially is the essence, what you need to know in order to penetrate through to ultimate reality. And because, you know, every single one of us who is practicing, you know, the path, you know, that's what we really have to aim for, you know, in its final seclusion. You know, the path, the end point of the Buddha's path is this very deep, profound wisdom and insight which breaks the cycle of rebirth. You know, it gives you a very profound understanding of the enlightenment stages and what say defilements, what fetters, what, you know, any of the 10 fetters which are left in the mind. And, you know, so as many of you know, the Sotapanna eliminates 3 fetters at the first level of awakening, and then you see an attenuation, a reduction of the additional fetters as you move up the scale. So in essence, that yeah, that will be the end point of the Buddha's path, you know, deep, profound, you know, understanding of the human mind, the human condition, And I was reading some material on a particular lady. She gave me a stick with her life story. She wrote a book, and just the level of difficulty and suffering of this particular person. And I mean, you know, just really, just, you know, like over the top. But in essence, that the vast, you know, because of karma, especially because karma is incredibly complicated, and people can find themselves incredibly, you know, they can be very good people, very good-hearted, wholesome people, you know, firm underlying good qualities, but their lives can be just a nightmare. It can be almost horrendous. But you know, nobody, you know, when it comes to karma, people don't get unlucky. You essentially, the vast majority of the time, 98-99% of the time, you know, you get what you deserve for both good and for bad. So if you see a very, very good person and their life is just is just a nightmare, it's just horrendous at that point in time, that person is basically bearing the fruits of bad actions in the past. But you know, so they're born with a good heart, they're born in a difficult situation. But when people, you know, go through difficulties in life, as one of the Kruparacharya, one of the very old enlightened masters from Thailand said, that you know, if you go through a particular very difficult experience and this experience doesn't kill you, it just makes you both physically and psychologically stronger. Because with human beings, that if life is just full of happiness and bliss and love and fantastic relationships with other people and you know, lovely homes and fast cars and great health and great children and friends and this and that, we don't necessarily learn an incredible degree with that kind of experience. But when we have a mix of both good and bad, or some people's lives are very difficult, it forces you to develop. It forces you to reflect on your life and to find a way out of problems and difficulties and try to improve things. Because you know, this is something that the Buddha mentioned in the suttas, that with the path, you know, say for example, with the underlying unease, the underlying difficulty of the human condition, that it either leads to despair, the human condition in the long term, because then this is not, you know, it's not like, you know, the human birth is not a bed of roses. You know, we're looking at a mix of both good and bad neutral experiences. But in essence, that the path, you know, the human condition will either can potentially lead to despair, or it leads to a sense of search, where you try to find a way out to improve the circumstances that you're in, try to develop some real in happiness, stability, security. So a good quality, a better quality of life. You know, the vast majority of the human race orientate towards happiness, joy, good relationships, you know, financial security, material security, fantastic children if you've got them. You know, all these things that we aspire to within the human realm. You know, that's what the vast majority of the population want. But with all of us, because you know, you've got thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of lifetimes of karma behind you. But in essence, you know, just in a loose term, say roughly about the last, you know, in essence, like if you really want to be a bit more specific, like the last 10 lifetimes will have probably a greater bearing of your life than the previous, say, 90. You know, if you're looking at the last 100 lifetimes, the last 10 will have a significant impact on your current rebirth. So, I mean, every single one of us, we have this responsibility. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how simple you are. You know, you had situations in Thailand where you had Kruparacharyas, old, you know, the old masters, the old forest masters, who attained, you know, to the highest levels of the enlightenment stages, the fourth level of enlightenment as arahants. You know, some of these people, male and female, didn't even have a third or fourth grade primary school education. And these people went on to be fully enlightened Dhamma masters of meditation and Dhamma. And so in essence, you know, especially in Western society, you know, if these people who were barely literate can do this, then the vast majority of the population, if we really put our mind to it, we can do this as well. It's a matter of effort and say, like, it's like wise consideration. You know, you've got the roadmap. You know exactly what you need to do. You know the direction you need to move in. And you essentially you put in the work. You know, it's like that principle of this is something that the Kuru Bhajans really, really stress. It's like satipanya, mindfulness, the development of mindfulness and wisdom in daily life, which people, you know, if you look at all the major principles of Buddhism, when you have mindfulness, sharp mindfulness and wisdom guiding the path from start to finish, you know, those two factors in a nutshell, they can watch over and assess and make adjustments with all the other factors of the path, because they're two primary factors, and they can watch over the whole development of the path in a major way. So, you know, even if you're a person who just doesn't want to study to an incredible degree, you know, you're interested in you try to keep the five precepts, you do a little bit of meditation, maybe at least 5 minutes a day, try to live a good quality life, that those two principles, you keep those in mind on a regular basis, and you know, it will take you a long way with the development of the path. So I'll make a stop there, and then we'll start with the meditation practice. We'll meditate for, say 15 minutes. And what we'll do the Burmese tummy meditation, where you focus on the abdomen, and as the abdomen rises and falls, you watch the sensations in the solar plexus. So as the abdomen rises and falls, you just watch all those feelings, those sensations. And the reason why this is useful, in a sense, because when people are under stress and they get very emotionally charged, or they start to lock up emotions in the body, people can really feel it in their guts or especially in their chest. The chest area, say the whole chest area, is a very, very broad focus. It takes a lot longer to get peaceful with that. But if you've got heavy, heavy emotional stuff and you breathe in through into the chest, the full chest, from the throat to the belly button, you can actually ventilate and you can shift very, very strong, difficult emotions from that area, just through this kind of like a pure awareness, a sensitivity and being aware of feeling, sensation, and releasing feeling. You know, the vast majority of us lock up emotions in the chest, in the abdomen. But we'll focus on the abdomen this morning, because it's a much more sharp, precise area of focus. So at least you can see some peacefulness there. So just get yourself in a comfortable position with your legs crossed and your hands together, your back straight. You know, make sure that you've got nothing tight around the throat, the wrist, the waist, and so you can breathe fully, you know, fully into the chest, and have the head upright and comfortable. And just focus on that feeling. So as you sit comfortably, just relax the physical body to the best of your ability. Relax your, especially your shoulders, around the shoulders, the neck, and relax, you know, the knees and the pelvis and the ankles. Get yourself nice and comfy. And just breathe in to the belly. You know, I want you to feel the belly, feel all the feelings, the sensations in the belly section. And with this, you can help relax the whole physical body as well. So we'll do that for the next 20 minutes, and I'll talk you through the session. So as you breathe into the abdomen, try to relax the belly as much as possible and relax the physical body as much as possible. So as you breathe into the belly section, take long, slow, relaxed, deep breaths to maximize the depth of the meditation. So as you breathe into the abdomen, just see if you are aware of any, say, tension or painful feelings or changes in temperature, because this can actually have something to do with your bodily energy, with your qi, with the circulation of your qi, or, you know, with your, say, your emotional makeup as well. So, you know, as you know, with the COVID 19, you're under far more stress than we usually are in different ways. So, you know, this you may actually feel it this extra stress that we're under at this time in the muscles and the tendons, the ligaments in the abdominal area. So as you develop some real focus, some stillness of mind, if you have any very strong emotions or any issues coming up, now's the time to contemplate. You know, the purpose of samadhi is for the development of wisdom. You know, not just for getting peaceful and happy and joyful. The higher purpose is wisdom. So this particular experience that you may have, I want you to try to understand it on an emotional level. You know, what is the quality of this feeling, who it's connected with, you know, the circumstances and why, at what time and for how long, and how it affects you. You know, sort of, you know, approach it from many, many different angles. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So you could approach a particular experience from maybe a dozen angles, from maybe, you know, half a dozen, no trouble at all. And try to develop this full knowledge, this full understanding of a particular personal experience, because when you do, you have the ability, you have the, you know, because you have to teach yourself in Buddhist practice, especially meditation. When obstacles come up, when problems and difficulties come up, you actually have to teach yourself, because the mind in itself only has this pure awareness at its most intrinsic level. The mind is not born with wisdom. You actually have to teach yourself over the years, over the lifetimes, two or three lifetimes before you break through. So reflect on a particular experience, explore it as deeply as you possibly can, and to see some significant results, to see some real relaxation, letting go, forgiveness, compassion and whatnot. You may have to do this maybe several times a day, and try to develop this all-round knowledge of a particular experience that you're going through. Okay, so we've come to the end of the session, and I'll ring the bell three times, and you can open your eyes when you're ready. Okay, so thanks for joining in this morning, and have a wonderful day.